was told to quit his whining when he said it wasn't fair. And his mansion became a collective.
This is Quality News Network. President Bush, just back from a five-hour visit to Iraq, is acknowledging that violence there will never be completely eliminated, but he says that a security crackdown and new intelligence on terrorism are contributing to steady progress and that ultimately success in Iraq depends upon the Iraqis' will to succeed. He declined yet again to suggest a timetable for bringing home the 130,000 U.S. troops now in Iraq, saying that his decisions will not be based on politics and polls, but what is best for this country. On the subject of Guantanamo Bay Prison, where there are were three detainee suicides last weekend, he said that he'd like to close the prison, but first needs a plan for housing the detainees elsewhere. Human rights organizations and many foreign leaders are urging the U.S. to shut the prison down. Meanwhile, in the face of growing criticism over the treatment of detainees, Pentagon officials have decided to make public all of the military's interrogation techniques. In Iraq today, tens of thousands of Iraqi police and soldiers searched cars, secured roads in Baghdad as Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki launched a major security crackdown aimed at ending the violence that has devastated the capital. Despite the stepped-up security measures, however, a parked car bomb did kill at least four civilians and wound six others. The Government Accounting Office says that as much as 16% of the billions of dollars in FEMA assistance given to individuals after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita was unwarranted. The GAO telling Congress that more than $1.4 billion was used to pay for everything from season football tickets, diamond jewelry, and a tropical vacation to porn videos and divorce lawyer fees. Even prison inmates were able to access FEMA funds. The report says GAO agents went undercover to expose the ease of receiving disaster expense checks from FEMA, which says it has since improved its procedures. In Ramallah, about 50 government workers stormed into a session of the Palestinian parliament today demanding back pay. Civil servants have not been paid since the Hamas-controlled government took office 3 months ago. At the same time, the Palestinian prime minister has agreed to begin removing a Hamas militia from the streets and to integrate it into the police force to try and ease tensions that have fanned fears of civil war. Coalition and Afghan forces have killed 26 suspected militants in Afghanistan's eastern mountains, while in the southern part of Afghanistan, more than 11,000 troops are preparing for their biggest offensive since the fall of the Taliban 5 years ago. In Somalia, the Islamic militia, who took over the capital of Mogadishu last week, trying to solidify their rule while reassuring Western leaders that they do not intend to impose an extremist Taliban-style government on the country. This is Quality News Network. It's now 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Labor Department reports that the Consumer Price Index posted a 0.4% increase last month, a slight drop from April, but compared with last May, prices have jumped 4.2%, considerably higher than the 3.9% increase that economists had forecast. Merck is selling its 21.8% stake in Schering to Bayer, clearing the way for a takeover by Bayer and giving it access to Schering's lineup of best-selling multiple sclerosis treatments and oral contraceptives. Singapore Airlines says it plans to buy 20 jetliners from Boeing, primarily due to delays in Airbus's delivery of its A380 Jumbo. Honda says it's recalling over 500,000 vehicles in three models to replace a faulty part used in starting an engine. They were all built between 1994 and 1997. Federal authorities are investigating the discovery of large quantities of illegal drugs worth hundreds of thousands of dollars that were found inside bathroom vanities from at least two Home Depot stores in Massachusetts. The vanities had been shipped from Texas. The International Trade Commission has launched an investigation into whether Apple Computer's iPod digital music player infringes on a patent by Creative Technology. An ethanol maker, Verisun Energy, debuted today on Wall Street, the first of three producers of the corn-based car fuel to go public. Light sweet crude oil is trading this hour at $68.55 a barrel, down 1 cent. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 66, the NASDAQ is up 9, and the S&P 500 is up 3. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Wednesday afternoon, at least where I am. Thrilled to death to be with you. I am Bob Kincaid. This is your daily confrontation with the facts, the little dust-up we like to call head-on. And being as how it is Wednesday, well, you know what Wednesday means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
That's right, it's Wednesday prayer meeting. And I guess it makes sense now when I consider it why the Southern Baptist Convention had to bust up today. They had to get home for prayer meeting. Sure enough, fellowship dinner in the basement of the church, and then back upstairs for a little good old-fashioned hate. And I don't know if you were listening, I hope you were, to my good friend, my comrade Bruce Birch's program. 3 days old now. Oh, and it's already up and walking around. we're so proud to add another couple of hours of programming to the Head On Radio Network lineup. But at any rate, there was a conversation during Bruce's program in which they talked about an article or an address delivered today at the Southern Baptist Freakathon in Greensboro, North Carolina. In which the minister said, and Agnes, I wish you could have said, well, actually, you've still got it in front of you, dear, in the Explorer there. Yeah, right there. In which the minister stated at the annual convention sermon right after Kinda Sleazy Rice became the first African-American woman to walk into a Southern Baptist gathering in some several decades. This goober, Donald Wilton, said, and I quote, "I'm going to submit to you that as believers in Christ Jesus, we are not even," wait for it, this guy's a Republican, this is a Bush voter, okay, "we are not even of America. We march according to a different drum beat. Ours is not the Constitution of America. Ours is the Constitution of the Almighty God."
And he said, "It's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord." Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Yea, verily, we are not of the Constitution. What have I said? Time after time after time, they hate America. The Bible tells us we can ask of the Lord, and He'll give to us. Southern Baptists, I mean to submit to you today that it's time for us to wake up as a denomination. It's time for us to roll up our sleeves and go to work and become the soul winners that we claim to be. God has given us our marching orders. Can these people not talk about any kind of spirituality without engaging in military rhetoric? Marching orders? Drum beats? Makes it sound like Yeshua had the disciples out on the parade ground doing double-time drill. They frustrate me. They frustrate me in the extreme. And, of course, kind of sleazy rice goes great with kind of sleazy chicken. She addressed the crowd, as I noted. And they cheered. Those Bible-believing Baptists cheered about the death of another human being. Agnes, if you will go back to Bruce's setup there. I want to run this again, because there may be somebody out there who didn't hear kind of Sleazy's remarks. Now, this is her describing the killing of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi.
This is the fate that our troops delivered last week to the terrorist Zarqawi. And now he will never harm, he will never murder, he will never terrorize innocent people again. That is what America stands for.
Baptists don't even clap during their own sermons, and they're cheering over the death of I think I got a problem with that. And do you know, Agnes, dear, can we go back to it for just a second, please? Because I want you to hear the terms. Again, you got this Reverend Wilton talking about drum beats and marching orders from Christ and listen to how she describes the killing of Zarqawi. It wasn't a killing. Listen.
This is the fate that our troops delivered last week to the terrorist Zarqawi. And now he will never harm, he will never murder, he will never terrorize innocent people again. That is what America stands for.
You see, these Republicans, these bloodthirsty killers, they don't just say things. You'll notice it was not an attack on Zarqawi. It wasn't a raid on Zarqawi. It was a delivery of fate. The fate that our troops delivered. Now, do you understand? Of course you do. Why do I ask that? I'm sorry. I apologize. That undervalues you and overvalues me. But when you talk about mortals and military units delivering fate, what you are doing by doing that is casting those mortals and those military personnel in the role of what? The army of God? Do you understand that kind of sleazy rice had to go? Only Nixon could go to China. Only kind of sleazy could go to the Southern Baptist Convention. She had to go to Greensboro today. She had to tell them that these were not mere troops, but were rather literally the hand and sword arm of Almighty God, lashing and striking at the insurgents. Because you got to remember, when the rest of the country, when every religious body of any morality whatsoever, including the United Methodist Church, of which Dick Cheney and George Bush are a member, when George Bush was going to war and his own church was saying, could we get the bishop, you know, the head Methodist, was trying to get a meeting with George Bush so he could say, sir, this is not what Jesus would do.
This is what would Caesar do, not what would Jesus do. Bush wouldn't take a meeting with him. And instead, he addressed the Southern Baptist Convention then in, what, 2002, 2003? He addressed the Southern Baptist Convention then because the Southern Baptist Convention was absolutely rife with ministers delivering sermons that say, well, do you see here it says where Jesus looked up and said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God the things that are God's. Well, what that means is that we got to support this here war because, after all, Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11. The only major denomination, abomination perhaps, in the United States that openly supported the attack and slaughter of a nation that had not raised a finger against the United States. The only group that did that was the Southern Baptist Convention. Yeah, I think I'm right. They're not a denomination. They are an abomination. The nerve of that evil woman to stand there And tell people that 19 and 20-year-old soldiers being recycled through the Iraqi meat grinder for the second, the third, the fourth time, that they are operating the machinery of the Almighty and delivering fate. You see, as like you do, I pay attention to language, because what did the Republicans tell us? God, was it that long ago when they were busily poking and prodding and peeking around Bill Clinton's zipper? What did they say? Yeah, I remember. Words mean things. And, oh, Lord, they mean more right now than perhaps at any time in our history. Because when you are describing an army as a harbinger of fate, why, you have just cast yourself in the role of the divine. Of the divine. And is it so hard to understand why that would happen when a couple of years ago George Bush stood in Jerusalem and said to the Palestinians, he said, God's told me to strike at the Taliban, and I did. And he told me to strike at Osama, and I did. And if I don't get elected, I can't help you solve this problem. So, of course, God speaks directly to George Bush. So, therefore, that makes him not only, as commander-in-chief, you know what that makes him. Oh, Lord, there is reason to be afraid. And I don't know how much praying will help, if at all. They delivered his fate, and the Southern Baptists assembled, cheered. What would Jesus do? There were all kinds of people just like Abu Musab al-Zarqawi all over Palestine when Yeshua walked the earth. They were called the Sicarii, radical Jews who cross-dressed, dressed up as women, and would get as close to a Roman soldier as they could and then pull a dagger out and slit him from gut to gizzard and watch him bleed to death on the ground because they hated the occupation of the Romans. And I don't think there's a word in there about Jesus approving of killing the Sicarii or of the Sicarii killing Romans. But then again, we all know what kind of a radical liberal I am. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Nah. We don't like that part. That's not in the Southern Baptist Bible. We'll take a break. As ever, your phone calls are more than welcome. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network. Saints, they
all tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's going to come in his heaven airplane.
Without children, a world without their smiles or their laughter, a world where children don't play or sing or dream or imagine.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, we can't imagine a world without children. That's why we're working every day to find cures for diseases that strike down children everywhere. Diseases like cancer, pediatric AIDS, and sickle cell. And we won't stop until every child is cured and every disease is defeated. Because we can't imagine a world without children. Can you?
Finding cures, saving children. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. To learn how you can help, call 1-800-931-0800 or log on to our website, stjude.org.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
You take your six-year-old to the playground. You watch her run from the slide to the swings. Another mother strikes up a conversation. You take your eye off your daughter for a few seconds. You look back, and she's gone.
Lily? Lily?
Every parent knows that feeling. Imagine if she were actually abducted. To receive free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
What will it take to warn you about the danger of radon gas? It's a threat in one out of every 15 homes. You can't see it, smell it, or taste it. So, many lung cancer victims never knew about this risk. A simple home test might have warned them. Don't ignore it. Protect your family and test your home today. Call 1-800-SOS-RADON. Homes with high radon levels can be fixed.
Comes to earth from heaven and shall call his bride away.
I'm gonna sail away
way to my home above, that's a home above. People come on the clouds of glory on that great eventful day.
You'd be surprised the wave of nostalgia that rolls over me when I hear music like that. For 5 hours a night for about 3 years as I finished high school, Monday through Friday, I jocked that music. Oh, the Kingsmen. I can't remember all the... The Happy Goodman Family. Yeah, there we go. That sounded like the Happy Goodman Family, as a matter of fact. I did all of that. And I kind of love that music. But it's not the music that we've got the problem with. It's the people with the sermons and the "We Are Not of America." What do you do with somebody like that? Stood up there and told those Southern Baptists, Reverend Wilton did, that they had no obligation to obey the laws of the United States? Not a happy sign for a civil society, really. Of course, you know, who else stands up and tells people, their followers, that they don't have to obey the laws of civil society? Why, the Taliban, the real fundamentalist Muslim wackos in Iraq. In Iran, fundamentalist weirdoism is the law of so-called civil society. So you really can't win, can you? It's tough. Meanwhile, ever heard of Gilbert Deya? Gilbert Deya? A self-styled bishop? Well, he's been picked up in Scotland. Gilbert Deya has. He has a ministry he calls, and Agnes, you're going to love this one, Miracle Babies. He goes and prays for infertile women. And 9 months later, they miraculously have a baby.
He's implanting snowflake babies.
He's implanting snowflake babies. That's right, dear. No, what he's, actually, he's on the lam from Africa. But he tells his UK membership to give 10% of their salaries to help support the miracle babies. I never knew praying was so expensive. He has 3 homes, a jet, a helicopter. But he says he has not profited from his ministry. And you see, the problem is he's wanted on an international warrant in relation to a child trafficking ring in Kenya. He's wanted. The questioning regards a group that is alleged to have stolen or illegally bought at least 19 children from poor mothers. There's your miracle babies. And at least one maternity hospital is being investigated over claims that parents were told their babies had died in childbirth when they were sold as a miracle baby to desperate couples in Britain for £5,000 each. And among other things, he was identified by DNA evidence, and the babies were identified by DNA evidence.
He was implanting something.
No, not that kind of DNA evidence, dear. Not the stained blue dress kind of DNA evidence. Darn it. But his response is that the DNA evidence is corrupt and false because DNA evidence is beyond the understanding of man. Oh, this man understands. Oh, this man understands very, very well, Bishop Deya.
Bishop?
Bishop. Well, he's self-ordained. Wait, Agnes. He's self-ordained. I'm going to be Pope Bob. You can be, you want to be sister or mother? Mother Superior Agnes. Why, heavens yes, Mother Superior Agnes Dei.
Oh, no.
That's Mother Agnes for y'all. Do, when you pick up the phone, call her Mother Agnes, would you? It'll mean so much. Let's take a break. We'll come back and go to your phone calls. That's Mother Agnes when you dial 877-443-2366.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST.
Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. It has become a dwelling place of demons. Revelation 18. Wouldn't hurt you to look it over.
And what happened to Babylon?
Thou mighty city, in 1 hour hast thy mighty judgment come, and the light of a single lamp shall shine in thee no more.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Minutes before the hour, Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And let us go straight away, yea, verily, and forsooth, unto yon telephony device. David is with us. Welcome, David.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right. And yourself?
Oh, quite well, thank you.
All right, that's good. First thing I wanted to start out with is over 50 earthquakes in Alaska in the last 7 hours yesterday, ranging from 2.5 to 6.6.
That's not a good sign.
No, that isn't a good sign. And I was getting a discussion with somebody on the – I was reading the discussion on the board, and I just find it funny how people say, well, Alaska is known for earthquakes. And then you start to think, yeah, but it's 7 hours. It's not. We're not talking in this space that – of a month or 2 months or
right. Earth is known for earthquakes.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And a lot of people are kind of shrugging it off because I guess it's in Aleutian Islands. And they're saying, well, Alaska. But the activity, there's an activity sheet and there's like one in like every minute or something. It's pretty freaky.
Well, you know, usually that kind of stuff goes hand in hand with volcanic activity.
Right.
Tsunami-type, you know, earth-shifting activity. So, you know, something's and isn't that the same fault line that runs all the way down the Pacific coast of North America?
That's right. It is.
Yeah, something's cooking.
Something is. I wanted to talk about the Gitmo reaction.
Yes.
Of the suicide. I think it's important for news people and for people in the media to get feeds of Arabic coverage of the prisoners' families, the ones who have been waiting 2 or 3 years. And I think it's because I was watching Mosaic, and I brought Mosaic up before, but Mosaic is an important show on Link TV where they take Middle Eastern coverage of all the news,
mm-hmm.
and they translate it for everyone at home in a half-hour segment. So you go from country to country, United Emirates, Iran, Iraq. It's one of the best half hours on TV, and they won a Peabody Award.
I'd love to be able to watch it.
I'm sure someone's gonna stream it sometime. Maybe if somebody has Link TV. I don't have cable. I have to go over to my family's house and watch it. But if someone has cable, maybe they could start to stream it and put a download up on it or something. But the thing that I wanted to bring up is that more people have to see these family members and how long and the suffering that goes through with them when they tell their story. And some of these stories were just so ridiculous, I don't even know what to say anymore. This one woman says this GI keeps telling her that he's going to be released in another week. And she's frantic. He's been in there for 2.5 years. He's just like, he's just a regular common villager.
Well, yeah, and see, imagine if you will, David, when the, you know, because it went out on American news and the names didn't go out first. All we knew is that there were 3 suicides at Guantanamo. How many people in that part of the world have some, you know, he's a cousin, he's a brother, he's a father, he's a son? And you know how family ties are. How many people total? 1,500, 2,000 may still to this day be wondering and worrying whether one of those three is theirs.
Well, to pardon the pun, but we need to put focus on the family.
Well said.
Focus on the Iraqi and the and what the American families are going through. I thought that was kind of interesting how they portrayed it in the news and how they said al-Zarqawi was we've rid the world of a terrorist leader of al-Qaeda and all of that. And I found that kind of interesting, the fact that I was watching on the news today and they're hesitant. Get this now, Bob. They're hesitant of releasing a photo for the next terror leader. Wow. It took you guys that long. Oh, my God. Somebody deserves a round of golf clap for that one. I mean, come on. And what is with Tony Snow wearing the Colonel Klink helmet? who authorized that photo anyways? Was he even thinking?
They're not, you know what? They're not even in this world now, David.
They are not in this world. And it's scary.
This has reached the point where it's something out of a Mel Brooks movie.
I know. And it gets funnier. I'm going to bring up Coulter because I think this is interesting. Ann Coulter is now getting, there's word on the net on the Rude Pundit, I urge everyone to check it out, that she's plagiarizing, copying and pasting in her book, like paragraphs at a time.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they're so bad that her facts, this is how you know she's copying and pasting. Some articles in the past got some facts wrong.
Right.
So what she would do is she would copy and paste this article, but she wouldn't have a reference or a perspective of history, and she'd have that fact right in that paragraph.
Oh my God!
Word for word. And you know, I just want people to realize that you want to know why Ann Coulter's book is number one. I'm going to tell you, people, you need to be up on the conservative game. Conservative book club. When they price a book for free or $4.99, hello, you're going to number one. It's a cheat.
Well, there. If you actually look at the New York Times list, David,
right?
They've got they've got asterisks and little special signs that mean things. And when they put one of those dagger crosses out in front or out behind a title, I think it's the dagger cross symbol. That means that it has been bulk purchased.
Exactly, and that's what people should realize. You want to know how much? And here's an example of the power of the conservatives turning your back on you. Did you see the sales figures for Mary Cheney's book? Mary Cheney's book?
What sales figures? I mean,
I think they said she sold a total in 1 week of 574
books, not 1,000.
I think her title of her book, Now It's My Turn.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Get back in line.
Yeah. No, it's not. Back in the log closet with you, Mary Cheney.
back in the line. And the next thing I want to talk about was, I wanted to know if you have any progress with Mike Stark.
I've just gotten home. I've just gotten home, David. So I haven't.
Okay.
We drove home this past Saturday, and I am still catching up.
No, but I mean, have you had any progress with? Emailing him, or has he answered back anytime or anything?
That's what I mean. I'm still, like I said, I'm still digging out.
Well, he's already on Hannity, and he reported his findings of Daily Coast, and he held himself quite well.
Very good.
He's really impressive. And since we're on the Daily Coast subject, I want to bring up Hillary and how she got booed.
Yeah.
At the Daily Coast convention.
Well, and booed at Take Back America, too.
Right. Well, maybe it was Take Back America where she got booed. Either way, this shows a sign that progressives do not lean to Hillary's side. That's the consultant side. If you want to go with the consultants, remember, all of those people, the consultants, they have no idea what they're doing. They're just taking crap shots. And they're going to point the finger at each other and eat their own, and eat their own as soon as something goes wrong. Oh, you did it. I didn't think of that. You did it. So if you want to go to the consultant side, remember, Hillary's your woman, basically.
Well, I think you're very much correct. And there's another story coming out of that was brought to my attention by an emailer today. Coming out of that Take Back America conference, are you familiar with Code Pink, David?
Yeah.
Well, over at Common Dreams, Medea Benjamin has an article describing in detail the way Code Pink was treated at this Take Back America conference. And I find it, I've invited her onto the program. I don't know if she's going to come on or not. But I find it shameful the way Code Pink was treated.
You mean they booed her?
Oh, no. Code Pink wanted to... Well, the way Medea Benjamin describes it, David, the Take Back America people came to Code Pink and said, please, don't make a big scene about Hillary being there, okay?
Mm.
And so they negotiated, and according to Medea Benjamin, and I have no reason to doubt her, the Take Back America people promised that if in return for Code Pink not making a scene, that Code Pink could at least walk around the event and pass out flyers with regard to Hillary's war record. All right. Well, when they and then at the event where Hillary was to speak, an agreement was struck that Code Pink could ask the first question. Now, when the day arrived, according to Medea Benjamin, they showed up with their little flyers and stuff, and they were promptly ushered off the premises because they were not invited. And then they were even ushered away from the sidewalks outside the Washington Hilton and prevented from passing out their flyers. Now, a few Code Pink people did have tickets to the breakfast, and they stood up to ask their question and were promptly muzzled. I mean, it was downright Rovian the way they were treated, and frankly, I find it it's disturbing and it's shameful.
It sounds like a no-win situation for progressives. They should have just at least let her say her question. Like, Hillary wouldn't have minded. I mean, I don't understand.
Hillary.
I don't know.
It's not like she's George Bush. Okay.
I know.
You know, she can. I have great respect for her intelligence. I believe she is a brilliant woman.
Without a doubt, yeah.
And I don't think she would have any problem whatsoever fielding a question about why she supported the war. And frankly, if she wants the progressive support and middle-of-the-road support and conservative, she wants everybody's support. She wants the Democratic Party to, oh, by golly, get behind her. Then I don't think she would have had a problem addressing the questions. But it seems like there is a machine that is behind her that is very disturbing, and that kind of likes the idea, maybe, David, of free speech zones.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I think there's a portion of the Democrats that continue to undermine and want to distract and portray the liberal left and the radical left, whatever that means, as a dangerous threat. When I see what the real threat is when the radical left, when they have AK-47s and rocket launchers and all that, then you can consider us a radical threat. I mean, come on, it's just words and it's just speech.
Well, right, and it even goes so, you know, there's a progressive Democrat running against Hillary in New York for the Senate seat this year.
Right.
His name is Jonathan Tessini. And they even, according to Ann Wright, an Army colonel and a diplomat who resigned over the war, she said, they took away leaflets supporting Jonathan Tessini, the anti-war Democrat who's running against Clinton in New York. They searched people's bags for banners. They even took away an impeach Bush banner from Veterans for Peace. Now, Bruce Birch and Guy James were both there, and I don't know if they saw any of this going on, but I would certainly be interested in knowing. This is disturbing, David, because this is behavior that scares me, because there is an element of the Democratic Party that says, you know, if we're going to win, we've got to be a little more Republican.
I agree with you. I was surprised that at the Take Back America conference that Tom Hartman actually got to speak to Harry Reid, because I have my doubts.
Well, Tom's had issues with Harry.
That's true, he does. But he treated him with respect, and he said he was a great American or something.
Well, that's a nice way to handle it.
It's a cordial way for a radio talk show host to handle it on the air.
Yeah.
So Harry Reid will want to come back, and he can grill him some more.
Right.
Hopefully that's Tom's direction.
Yeah, and well, doggone it. We're talking about people that we commonly refer to as being pretty doggone smart.
Right.
And yet I'm sitting here, and it appears that they're afraid to be questioned by progressives, by liberals. All we wanted, Hillary, what gives with the war support?
I don't really have an answer to that. I think it goes back to hardwiring. As I said before, it goes back to hardwiring her brain to be a war president or a war presidential nominee.
Well, in all truth, David, and I want I'll give her a break where a break is called for. Anyone who contemplates being president coming out of the November 2008 elections has got to understand they are going to come into office as a war president. Because the fact of the matter is, the guy who's in 1600 Pennsylvania right now started the war, and he's too darn stupid to end it. So they know. I mean, there's no guessing involved. They know. I mean, whether it's Rumsfeld or Cheney or Bush, this is a war of generations. This, Rumsfeld tried to change it from the global war on terror to the long war. So we know. You and I know, and the politicians interested in the presidency know that they are going to have as the first thing on their plate and the last thing they think of at the end of every day, the fact that there is a war going on that they didn't start, that they are stuck with.
Bob, one more thing before I go. Every time when they say democracy for Iraq, I'm going to picture Tony Snow in that Colonel Klink helmet with that Gomer Pyle smile on his face.
Hogan!
I tell you, people should make a T-shirt out of that. It's just so priceless. That's our John Kerry bunny ears photo right there.
Oh, we need to get that photograph up. do me a favor, David. Do you have the photograph handy?
I can get it. I believe it's on Crooks and Liars. It's on a lot of different places.
Yeah, go ahead and shoot it over to our buddy John Fox. John at fourthestateradio.com.
Right, I will.
We need to get that up on the front of the Horn Network page.
Yes, everyone needs to see that if they haven't seen it.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And again, yeah, it's
I hope Tony Snow starts getting hard questions eventually.
I don't know if there's a hard. I don't know if you can ask Tony Snow a hard question. It got to where it was easy to beat up on Slytherin Scotty because he was just he was Joe Tomato Can up there, just waiting to be pounded. Tony Snow is not quite the same thing.
That's true.
Frank, I hate him. He's disgusting. He's revolting. But he is polished enough to stand up there and be a little bit more nimble on his feet. I always figured all along that if Tony Snow hadn't taken the job, the new White House spokesman would have been John Stossel. Same principle.
I think that they would have had the balls to make Rush Limbaugh.
Well, but he couldn't pass the drug test.
Yeah, he couldn't pass the drug test.
And, that Palandial cyst will keep him out of public service, too.
That's true. I could also see Neil Bortz being
there. Ooh, now that's just... Yeah, that was one of those whole body shivers where the old folks said, somebody just walked across your grave. That was one of... That's just nasty, David.
I know.
So good to hear from you.
No problem, Bob.
All right, take care.
Night.
All right, you too.
Later.
Bye-bye. And a quick piece of information for you. Our good friend Larry, up in Cannonsburg, PA, home, I still hope, of a darn fine candy factory. chocolates and stuff. No, David had mentioned WorldLink, and Larry wrote to say that you can get archives of the Mosaic program that David referred to at worldlinktv.org. And I've got to go and have a look at it. Don't leave the show, please.
Not me.
We hate to we hate to be alone, Mother Agnes and I. That's Mother Agnes, Mother Superior Agnes.
Just
but go and yeah.
Stark dead doesn't mean I want to.
Hey, I'm not. Listen, I can't wait to get the big House of Whoville hat. WorldLink TV. .org. I'm after the show, I'm going to have a look and see what's going on there. Thanks, Larry, for sending the link. And, of course, I said earlier in our conversation with David that, you know, from Tony Snow in the helmet to Dear Leader on any given day of the week, these guys... They really have gone into full bore, you know, mode. To the point now that when I see Dear Leader, I do. I think of, you know who I think of? I think of Governor LePetitmane from Blazing Saddles.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Harumph?
Yeah. Sitting there, work. Yes, sir. Let me just put the paper in. There you go. Work. Ah, hello, boys. Did you miss me?
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Harumph!
Governor LePetitmane. Yeah, we'll do a number six on him. I love Blazing Saddles, and it's so like so many things. And another Slim Pickens film. It's like the Dr. Strangelove. They've taken so many, this Bush administration has taken so many things away from me that I used to enjoy. Governor LePetitmane used to be funny. Major Kong from Dr. Strangelove used to be funny. General Buck Turgidson from Dr. Strangelove used to be funny. There you go again, Mother Superior. You know, Hedley Lamarr, Harvey Korman in Blazing Saddles, hilarious. None of this is funny anymore. Because it's all readily apparent that what was high farce and high comedy and nothing more and a gentle evening's entertainment of rolling belly laughs, that it is now high drama and deadly serious. Because Governor LePetitmane from Blazing Saddles is president now, and General Turgidson is the Secretary of Defense. When we come back, oh, I don't know, where do you want to go? I've got some, American Family Association action alerts for you, if you'd like to do that, freaks. Or whatever you care to bring to the table. The phone number you know already, 877-443-2366. Jump right in. The conversation's fine. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
This is Quality News Network. President Bush says that despite sagging poll numbers, he feels confident that the Republican Party will hold on to both houses of Congress in November and that he looks forward to campaigning for GOP candidates. At a news conference this morning, one day after his surprise visit to Iraq, Mr. Bush also saying that success in Iraq depends upon their will to succeed. He adds that he will not bend to political pressure for troop withdrawals and has assured Iraqi leaders that the United States will not leave until Iraqi forces can do the job. In Baghdad, more violence today despite the deployment of 50,000 mostly Iraqi and U.S. forces to bring security to the capital city. A car bomb killed four and wounded six others. FEMA is under fire today on Capitol Hill, where Congress is hearing about a government audit showing that up to $1.4 billion of FEMA hurricane relief money, that's 16% of all of it, was used for fraudulent purposes. Money intended for victims of the hurricanes instead went to everything from season football tickets and a Caribbean vacation to a sex change operation. FEMA acknowledges that there was fraud and abuse and says it is revamping its system and working to recover the squandered money. House lawmakers have given themselves a $3,300 a year raise, increasing their salaries to $168,500. The 2% cost of living hike is a seventh straight for members of Congress. Five UN human rights experts are urging the closure of the U.S. military prison at Guantanamo Bay after last week's suicides there, which they say were predictable given the harsh conditions. President Bush saying today he wants to close the prison, but first needs a plan to deal with the prisoners who are held there. Scores of protesters stormed the Palestinian Parliament building today to demand long overdue wages from the Hamas-led government, which has been unable to pay the salaries of civil servants since taking office more than 3 months ago. At the same time, the Palestinian Prime Minister has agreed to begin removing a Hamas militia from the streets and to integrate it into a police force to try and ease tensions that have fanned fears of civil war. Fierce battles have killed at least 30 people across Afghanistan as the U.S.-led coalition prepares to launch its largest offensive since the fall of the Taliban 5 years ago. Indonesian authorities have raised the alert status for Mount Merapi, the volatile volcano in central Java, to its highest level. Top world scientists are saying that world leaders meeting next month for the G8 summit must not allow concern for energy security to distract them from taking promised action on global warming. And a new Harvard study says President Bush's No Child Left Behind education policy has had no significant impact on the improved reading and math achievement since it was introduced in the year 2001. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The Labor Department reports that consumer inflation registered another sizable increase in May, pushed higher by soaring gas prices. A congressional study says Venezuela's threatened embargo on U.S. oil exports would mean an immediate 15% increase in world oil prices and that America is unprepared and its economy would suffer if Venezuela stopped supplying U.S. refineries. Federal and state authorities in Massachusetts are investigating the discovery of illegal drugs worth hundreds of thousands of dollars found in bathroom vanities sold by Home Depots in that state. The vanities had been originally shipped from Texas. The American Medical Association says too much salt is not good for you and that it wants the U.S. food industry to help reverse the trend by reducing sodium in processed and restaurant foods by at least 50%. The association is also encouraging the FDA to develop warning labels for foods high in salt. Singapore Airlines has announced it will buy 20 jetliners from Boeing, primarily due to delays in Airbus's delivery of its A380 Jumbo. And the House Appropriations Committee has voted for a hike in the federal minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25 an hour, which would be the first increase in a decade. It comes as an amendment to a spending bill, but is not expected to be approved when it comes to the House floor. Lightsweet crude oil is trading up 39 cents at $68.95 a barrel. The Dow Jones Industrials up 52 points. NASDAQ is up by 3. And the S&P 500 is trading flat at this hour. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Let's do some more of that internet's radio. We'll go right back to the phones in a minute, but I wanted to share something with you that I found. God, I love these guys. Our buddies Wally and Clyde and Dookie and Ed over at WD40.com. That's B-U-B-Y-A, the letter D, 40, WD40.com. I saw the link at their site. It actually comes from Raw Story. Do you remember? Oh, it was just shortly after he was installed in office by his daddy's buddies when Dear Leader went to the Kennedy Center for the Kennedy Center command performances or some such. And, you know, he's got that that seat right there close to the action. And the people came on and went off and they performed and the juggler and, but you know. And then Stevie Wonder came on and, you know, I mean, this was reported like 6 or 7 different agencies. Stevie Wonder comes on and George gets all excited and waves at Stevie Wonder. Do you remember this? I remember this. This is when I realized that, I mean, this is before 9/11 or anything. And I realized that we were in a world of poop with George Bush in the White House, waving at Stevie Wonder. Why am I mentioning this, and it's so long ago? Because some things just don't change. Dear Leader had an exchange the other day with a journalist named Peter Walston. This is the exchange, verbatim.
Yeah, Peter, you're going to ask that question with those shades on?
I can take them off.
No, I'm interested in the shade look, seriously, here.
All right, I'll keep it then.
For the viewers, there's no sun.
Peter Walston, I guess it depends on your perspective. Bush.
Touche.
Peter Walston's blind. May I repeat that? Peter Walston is blind.
Hey, Laura, you reckon they buried that Ray Charles with them sunglasses on? You're going to ask that question with those shades on? I mean, oh, God.
And, of course, this is just a matter of the liberal media being more cruel to George Bush than they ever were to Bill Clinton. I mean, Bill Clinton went around making sport of blind people all the time, didn't he? It just... I can take them off, sir.
No, I'm interested in the shade look, seriously, here.
Because, see, George Bush remembers when he'd have to wear sunglasses 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because he was whacked out of his freaking mind, and his eyeballs looked like a Rand McNally road atlas with all the little red lines in them. He remembers when he had to wear his Ray-Bans. He remembers when he would, back in the 80s, when he would hum, "I wear my sunglasses at night." Because he had pupils like robin's eggs. Because he was whacked out of his mind on one or another drug. That's what he was thinking. That reporter over there, I bet he's on something. I remember wearing my sunglasses. And bless his heart, the reporter, Peter Walston, works for the Los Angeles Times. And he didn't even, you know, sir, I've got these glasses on for a reason. Sir, I'm blind. But he was decent enough that he wouldn't publicly humiliate Dear Leader when a public humiliation is what Dear Leader needs almost more than anything else that this planet could afford. Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. I am told that the Teutonic Titwillow, Lily von Stupp, is joining us.
Oh, it's too. It's too. It's too. It's too.
Lily.
I'm tired of being admired, tired of being desired. Let's face it, I'm just tired.
I'm tired.
I've had thousands of men, and time and again, they recite you Byron and Shelley, and jump on your belly, and coming and going, and always too soon. Where are the white women, Mr. Kitty Kate?
Would you care for another schnitzen, Gruben?
Mm-hmm. Knock that chick a day's wages for sleeping on the job. How are you doing?
Oh, God rest her soul, you know.
I loved her.
Madeline Kahn.
Mm-hmm. That's a very mention of whose name horse's name.
Yes.
But I'll tell you. Anyway, and I just thought, well, after hearing all the stuff that I've been hearing about this, Bush is waving at Stevie Wonder, and then, of course, asking this guy about his sunglasses.
I mean, are you just... Is it
real tired.
Yeah, Jim, is it just embarrassing?
Well, hell, the fool waves at everybody. I mean, every time you see him cut the call for White House lawn to Marine One, he's waving. I wonder at who.
He drops that poor dog on its head to wave. I mean...
I guess he must do it because I know there's nobody out there. The press corps is not out there, I don't think, and I've seen... Well, I mean, I just don't... And when he gets off Marine One at Andrews Air Force Base... you know, he's waving at a whole bunch of people, and I've seen Bill Clinton deplane from that aircraft many a time back in the 90s, and I never saw anybody really out there for him to wave at.
Well,
I don't know what he's doing.
Well, you know, it's the little receiver in his ear. Wave at the people, George. Wave at the nice people.
I'll tell you something. This guy, you know, when he did wave at Stevie Wonder, I'd forgotten about that, and I thought to myself, you damn fool.
Yeah, I'm so ashamed of myself for bringing it back up. But, I mean, when you wave at Stevie Wonder and then with this reporter, I mean, yeah, I know, it's nothing. It's nothing. But it is it's something, Jim.
I would just love to see an honest toxicity blood report of that man's, drawn from that man's, based on what they could draw from that man's arm right now.
Oh, they're... I don't know if they can count to Thorazine that high.
I mean, I don't know, but I mean, it just seems like some of the stuff that he says and the way he must have some kind of Dr. Morrell like Hitler did, or some Dr. Feelgood like Jack Kennedy did, or something behind him. I don't know.
Well, they've got to maintain him somehow. I mean, he's at best, assuming that he actually is not drinking, he's a dry drunk because he's never really had treatment for it. So they've got to maintain him somehow. Do you remember the blink fest during the debates with Kerry?
I sure do.
That's the,
you know, something went right with that.
That's a man who's whacked. I mean, that's a man who's riding some sort of junk or some sort of Jones.
And I love it when he gets modeling. It's a hard job. It's hard.
Well, yeah, and now...
What is hard? I bet it had been hard in 10 years, he used to act out on so many things.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, he's out here, says he'd like to... He sure would like to close Guantanamo Bay. My left hind foot.
Well, he'll have something open up in its place. We talked about that.
Well, right. I mean, that's the same. You know, they're going to close Abu Ghraib and turn it back over to the Iraqis, not because we've had some sort of moral revelation, but because we're building a newer, bigger, badder, meaner prison.
Mm-hmm. That's about it. And they're real good with building those and awarding contracts to those people. I mean, they love to see Angola. Just in, every state's got to have its own Angola. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the truth.
I mean, or we can call them KZs or
Devil's Island, or
I'm afraid it's going to be like Auschwitz-Birkenau. But anyway, it's a frightening prospect to see what's going on in this country. It really is.
Well, and when you've got Defense Department officials, Jim, who come out after a triple suicide and say things like, well, this was an act of aggression against the United States.
Asymmetrical behavior.
Asymmetrical warfare. Yeah.
I thought to myself, I have seen terms for this, that, and the other. I mean, the Germans are great with a face through World War II, like special handling. Final solution.
Yeah, one of those 19 noun compound words.
Yeah, or medical resocialization when they were sterilizing the Jews, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, these words that they're coming out with, and I forget what you call the class of these type of words. There's a word for it, and I can't pull it out of my data bank right now. But anyway, these euphemisms.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, please, do they really think they're speaking to a bunch of simpletons?
Well, when they're talking about their voter base, they don't think it. They know it. I mean, that's like Condoleezza Rice going to the Southern Baptist today and telling them that our soldiers were the hands of fate.
The hands of fate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She said that they delivered Zarqawi his fate, our troops did.
They're what now? I'm sorry.
Bruce ran the soundbite, okay. So did I, that, you know, she said that the troops handed Zarqawi his fate.
Well, you know, fate has a way of being real fickle. That's all I got to say. Real fickle.
Well, it just did.
And, you know, the old Flying Fickle of Fate Award just might get awarded to somebody who ain't looking for it.
Jim, we are in the grips of a bunch of absolutely crazy people. I mean, I know I waffle, I vacillate, I go back and forth. Crazy, evil, stupid, evil, stupid, crazy, evil, stupid.
They're just Meshuggah.
They're big time Meshuggah.
So I mean, you know, that's all I don't know. I don't know. I just don't understand how people can. I don't know. I just look at it, and I just have to just go to something else because it's just number one, I find it insulting to my intelligence. Number two, I feel like I'm almost helpless to do anything against it. You know, I vote every election, and I contribute, and, you know, that's about all I can do.
Yeah.
I've done a lot earlier for this country, and I tell you, I just feel really kind of down in the mouth and pissed off as hell.
Well, I can understand it, and I think there's a lot of us who feel that way. And you know, what do you do about it? Do you let it eat a hole in your belly, or do you switch over and catch a Seinfeld rerun?
I think you better just have the, you know, watch. Like last night I watched Mrs. Miniver.
No, that's a dandy.
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful movie. But anyway, I just wanted to throw in my two cents.
Well, I suggest perhaps this evening you watch Blazing Saddles.
Well, that's on.
Oh, no, baby. I'm not from Havana.
You know the scene when they were circling the wagon by themselves up by Bell Brooks.
And oh, yeah.
Bloody warrior chief. He starts speaking Yiddish. I thought, dear God. But I mean, then.
Woof! They're darker than we are.
And then, was it Slim Pickens in that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Why, you got a tongue splitter and a $20 whore.
Yep.
I just love that. And he was looking for his froggy.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And then, when they were riding across the desert and they hit a toll booth, oh, damn, go back and get a shitload of dimes. That's about the mentality of the people in D.C. I hate to tell you.
Well, I believe it.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, listen, I've taken enough of your time.
That's okay. Thanks for the lightning moment, Jim.
Well,
or Lily.
Indeed.
I'm tired.
What did you say? Never mind. You take care. Have a good evening.
Bye now.
Bye.
Maybe that's what we need to do. We need to, let's remind ourselves of what's going on in the White House and just sit here and play some Blazing Saddles clips. I understand what Lily von Stupp meant. I'm tired. And sometimes I hate the way my mind works because I went to WD40.com and earlier today, and the lead story at the top of the page is Bush, I'd like to close Guantanamo Bay. And the first thing I think of, it's a jingle. I'd like to close Guantanamo and give it to Fidel. Oh. You see, I don't know. Maybe it's time for me to file for disability or something because rational and cognitive thought is passing me by at a rapid rate.
Yeah, no question. Guantanamo sends, you know, a signal to some of our friends, provides an excuse, for example, to say the United States is not upholding the values that they're trying to encourage other countries to adhere to. My answer to them is that we are a nation of laws. Huh?
Agnes, dear, you heard me read that. Does any of that make a lick of sense? I mean, does it make sense to you? I'm over here, and I'm not, and it ain't, and cognitive dissonance, and whew!
Not working for me.
We're a nation of laws, and so therefore we can't uphold values?
Well, you see, what the problem is we're a nation of laws, and we'd uphold values, but you see, our family values are under attack from the liberals.
It's painful sometimes. I mean, on the one hand, I could let my blood pressure run all through the roof, and, you know, Jesus Christ, and he did. But sometimes even I, Brother Bob Kincaid, vicar of the Cathedral of Common Sense, even I am reduced to darn near speechlessness. Darn near. I need the audio. I desperately need the audio of,
yeah, Peter, you're going to ask that question with those shades on? No, I'm interested in the shade look. Seriously here.
The shade look.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bull action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
The shade look? I'm interested in the shade look. I'm possibly looking for some shoes that would match my bag. All of these things that just come flooding back that have happened in the past. Yeah, waving at Stevie Wonder. Or down there in Mexico talking to the Prime Minister of Canada. This was after Ari Fleischer was gone and Scott McClellan was installed as White House press secretary. Down there with Bush in Mexico, Vincente Fox, and whoever it was, I can't remember. From Canada. I'm sorry. But he's introduced to the Prime Minister's assistant, and his name's Scott. Do you remember this?
How about that? Yeah, we got a Scott. I got me a Scott, too, but you're a lot prettier than he is.
You think it. I'm not making it up. You've heard it in the past.
I've got a Scott, but he's not near as pretty as you are. You're a pretty man.
Yeah, you know where I'm going too, and if I had the sound bite, I'd play it.
Ooh, sure got a pretty mouth.
See, Agnes, sure do got a pretty mouth.
Yep.
Yeah, you're a pretty man, and he went on for like 3 minutes talking about what a pretty man this.
I'll just leave the alone and go on.
And I'm supposed to think that that posting over at WayneMadsenReport.com, not just the report about pickles moving into the Mayflower, but the report about Bush and Victor Ash and this woman who's running as a Democrat for governor of Nevada, who said that she hooked him up with some hot three-way stuff, in which George was not the only guy in the room. I'm not coming unglued. I'm not going to lose it. I'm not going to fall apart. Yeah, Peter, you're going to ask that question with those shades on? Now, I'm interested in the shade look, seriously, here. They're fabulous. I got a Bolden shirt that's fabulous, too. I got it at the Goodwill. There's a clause in the Constitution that says that a president can be, you know, temporarily or permanently replaced upon proof of disability. From soup to nuts, from pretzels to sunglasses, from Stevie Wonder to Pretty Scots. You're a pretty man. Have we not finally had proof of the disability of George Bush? I mean, this is worse than Woodrow Wilson in the coma, okay? At least from my standpoint, from a historical perspective. This is worse than Woodrow Wilson in the coma. Because at least Mrs. Wilson was competent enough to run the government. For the viewers out there, see, he's mean. He's a mean little bastard. All the way back to the childhood stories of how they stuffed M-80s up the frogs' behinds and lit them to watch them go ribbit, bang! He's mean. To the days at Yale when Gary Trudeau himself in a newspaper expose described how George Bush would use white hot coat hangers to brand pledges at the Deke House. He's mean. Just plain rotten mean. And you remember during the campaigns all that crap that was floated around out there about how, America would obviously rather sit down and have a beer with George Bush. No. I would not sit down and have a half a beer with George Bush because I don't like to hang out with mean drunks.
Oh, I would if I could watch him eat pretzels.
Well, yeah, Agnes, you'd sit down and have a beer with him and pass him the pretzel bowl. But we're kidding, Fred! Agent Fred, it's only a joke.
No, it's just sharing. That's all.
Yeah, just sharing. Is it just me? These are the activities of somebody who is congenitally twisted and harmed. Now, me, you know, my armchair psychology says that it all probably started long. Well, you know, Babs out there, you know, with her 8 martini lunches while she was pregnant with little Georgie probably didn't help. But then, you know, he's born, he's 5 years old, his baby sister dies, and they don't tell him about it. She just never comes home again, and mommy and daddy go play golf on the day of the funeral. In some ways, there are some aspects of that man's life that you could almost feel sorry for. But the sympathy is all drained away by his willingness to take out his own misery and the hell of his own upbringing on the rest of the world. Born on third base thinking he hit a triple and mad that it wasn't an inside the park home run, you know. I'm going to get off of this. We're going to take a break. More of your phone calls if you so desire when we come back. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
They're coming down for us from heaven. And I see you riding a big red horse. They're driving the horses, whipping them. And they're spitting and frothing all on them.
love.
I know you do, baby. I've loved you since the day we met.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
At the Take Back America conference in Washington, D.C., labor was part of the mix of activists exploring progressive political and media strategies. From Washington, D.C., WIN's Frank Emspach describes labor's role in that conference.
You have a lot of local Democratic Party officials, a lot of local elected officials who are not necessarily labor. So this conference provides a means for labor leadership and people associated with the labor movement to try to talk to people about what a labor-oriented agenda would look like. That's, I think, the real value of having labor participation here.
United Steelworkers President Leo Girard got an award presented by Robert Redford for the union's role in the Apollo Project, a labor-environmental movement alliance.
And this is an attempt of steelworkers to work with the environmental movement, the Sierra Club primarily, to build green, to come up with designs for green building, to produce in such a way that it doesn't harm the environment.
Other labor leaders participating in this conference included AFL-CIO President John Sweeney, Change to Win's Anna Berger, Jeffrey Reckenbach from the Communications Workers of America, and SEIU's Jaime Contreras.
Planes at Detroit Metropolitan Airport could be headed for a fuel shortage as refuelers ponder a summer season strike. Represented by the Teamsters Local 299, the refuelers are upset with a decision by their employer, Aircraft Service International, to cut their pay by nearly $1 an hour, eliminate seniority preference, cease recognition of the union, and more than double health care payments. In early May, the National Mediation Board said the company did not have to recognize union representation at an airport in Pittsburgh. The company insists the decision also applies to Detroit. Nearly 300 refuelers could head out on strike. The company handles fueling at nearly 50 airports across the country. A concrete contractor in Miami is being targeted for allegedly violating numerous labor laws. The South Florida Carpenters Regional Council alleges that CAPFORM has violated labor laws ranging from unfair hiring practices to evading federal taxes during construction of a new downtown courthouse. At the union's behest, four congressmen have requested an investigation into CAPFORM by the General Services Administration. The contractor is also accused of bringing in workers from Texas instead of utilizing local Miami labor.
Here's today's economic report. According to a United Nations study, more than 12 million people worldwide, half of them children, are forced to work under slave-like conditions. The UN report says globalization of the economy under corporate domination has put extreme price pressures on producers, contributing to these slave labor conditions. In Brazil, Peru, and Bolivia, people are forced to work under armed guard. North Korea has labor camps. And many Asians have also been forced into the sex trade, all feeding the global economy. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
And when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gather around the
started talking. That some Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he looked into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man.
All right, halfway done. Welcome back. I'm Bob. This is Head On. Just glad and happy to have you along this evening, sharing your time with Agnes and me. It's very special. Now, moving onward, because I don't think I could take any more Dear Leader blind guy jokes. Now, moving on, did you catch The Daily Show last night? Did you catch the appearance of No Chin Ken Millman? Ken came out of the log closet long enough to try to spar with Jon Stewart. What were they thinking? I've got the clip here. It was in my the Democratic Party sent it. It was in my mailbox when I got up this morning. You can imagine the excitement over at headquarters. Oh, we got to get this one out. These don't just happen every day. So, without further ado, Republican National Committee Chair, No Chin Ken Millman.
You're the guy, see, I have sympathy for you because you're the guy who has to spray perfume on these turds. You know what I mean? You're the guy that has to go out and, like, no matter what. It's not an easy job. I mean, what happened to these guys? They came in, they were going to be the straight talkers, the adults, and it seems as though, you know, they've become the parsers, the guys that are saying, well, we didn't say, I never said that Al-Qaeda and Saddam were responsible for 9/11. I said they were in a relationship. I didn't, you know what I mean? You guys became parsers. When did that happen?
I think greed, cynicism, all those things caused us to do it.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Did we get that on camera? Did we get it on camera? Greed and cynicism. Now I like it.
The audience is warming up to me.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. Now, you and I both know that was an attempt to deflect it by being humorous, and that was supposed to be sarcasm. But, you know, when No Chin Ken tells you that the reason that they lied us into this filthy, stinking war, I think greed, cynicism, all of those things caused us to do it. Why, he was trying to be a hip cat and get all ironic on Jon Stewart. Didn't work, did it? The transcript goes on. After Stewart says, no, they're not. He says, what do you sell for 2006? What's your strategy? It's been a difficult run with you guys in charge of everything. What's your strategy? And No Chin Ken says, I will have to tell you, watching Chairman Dean on the show, I think our strategy is to get him to go to every undecided voter in America with those cards. That's how we do it. And, of course, that's a nice segue into, for Millman into, I think that what we're going to do is go to people. And, first of all, remember, individual rights is what this election's going to come down to. Whoa. Really? Individual rights? Like voting? And having it counted? Ken? Buddy? Stewart says, so you think run away from the record as Republicans? Well, no. And hope that individuals can be... That's not it? Millman, I think the American people understand we're dealing with tough challenges and dealing with a tough war, dealing with a global economy which makes people worry about things like their pensions and health care. Remember the scene in Jess Piccoli, you know, whacking himself in the head with the Vans tennis shoe? We're dealing with tough challenges and dealing with a tough war. What are the tough challenges, Mr. Melvin? Please, buddy. Now, your Senate just spent the last week telling us that the tough challenges were a couple of gay guys picking out a China pattern. And the other tough challenge was giving away some more of the national treasury to the Paris Hiltons of the world. Is that, you know, Ken, is that your tough challenges facing the American people? This week, we get a debate on a flag-burning amendment. Is that the tough challenge facing the American people? Because the way I see it, and you know, I guess I'm just a little funny. The way I see it, most of the tough challenges facing America have been created by Republicans. Just Jiminy. Sit there and ignore a health care crisis until, you know, what is it, 40, 50, 55 million Americans cannot go to the doctor unless, I mean, when they're sick, no preventive medicine, just palliative care at the emergency room. We're dealing with tough challenges and dealing with a tough war. Mr. Melman, buddy. The dude that's in the White House, that guy you're so fond of who waves at Stevie Wonder and makes fun of blind reporters, he started that war. I know that was Al-Qaeda. Saddam and Al-Qaeda. Al-Hussein. We didn't start it. Yes, you did. So we've got tough challenges, and we're dealing with a tough war. It's hard work. And we're dealing with a global economy, which makes people worry about things like their pensions and health care. Okay. You see? Words mean things. See, it's not the fact that George Bush, it's not all George. It has nothing to do with the fact that the Republican Congress violated its own procedural rules in order to pass the Medicare prescription drug boondoggle. No, hell no. It's because of the global economy. It's the global economy, don't you understand? That's what makes people worry about things like their pensions and health care. Do you hear how they operate? Do you hear how they think? It's the global economy causing those worries. It's some woman chained to a sewing machine in a special enterprise zone somewhere in Guangzhou province in China. You know, she's causing us to have to worry about our pensions and health care. Ken, buddy, I'll notice you didn't mention Americans worrying about Social Security. Holy cats. Yeah, it's dealing with a global economy, which makes people worry about things like their pensions and health care. Now, Ken, see, buddy, we have to worry about our pensions and our health care because absent health care, or even if you've got health care and you have a catastrophic illness in your family, the copay could be $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 that you don't have, and all the equity's tied up in the house, and you know, you still got the mortgage payment, we'll go bankrupt, but now you can't go bankrupt because the house is worth, you've got too much equity in the house, so you gotta. The number one leading cause, I believe, of divorce in this country is money problems. Followed by infidelity? Am I bass ackwards on that one? Feel free to tell me. But see, the Republican Congress took care of that. They took care of the bankruptcy issue because, it wasn't just the Republicans. They had help. You know, Bob Byrd was there. Joe Biden was there. Joe Manchin was there, wasn't he? I don't know. I know Biden and Byrd were voting for the bankruptcy bill that did nothing but just drop the hammer and put the wood to American working people with problems of with debt problems. Oh no no no! The leading causes of bankruptcy: job loss, followed by medical disasters. And sometimes, you know, the job loss leads to the medical disaster. But, of course, we've got to understand that is all the fault of the global economy. It's not the fault of George Bush. It's not the fault of any Republicans. No, no, no. It couldn't possibly be that. Oh, this is a whale of a transcript. I mean, it's a piece of work start to finish. Stewart says, when you say that, he's talking about Bush and Cheney, when you say they're pretty open right now, about what? Because I've been watching them, and they seem to, like, they will say this, like, I trust the American people to understand the thing, so why are you doing this? I can't talk about that. they seem to call the confidentiality when it suits them, and then at other times not. And No Chin Ken says, well, obviously, a lot of these issues are things that are national security concerns, and those are things that you don't want to talk about because it gives away sources and methods and could threaten the American people. John Stewart, really? Or you just don't want to talk about it? Like, for instance, you know, Cheney meeting with all the energy guys. Why didn't you want to talk about that? Oh, I think they did talk about that. They met with a lot of other people, too. Stewart, no, you wouldn't divulge. And this is a telling statement. There are things out there that every president and administration has. There are things when they have internal meetings that if everything is open, there's not going to be serious internal discussion because it'll be in the newspapers. John Stewart. Oh, like an open government. Precisely. Precisely. They have gone absolutely stark raving around the bend. You know, they know they got the Southern Baptists, though. They got the Southern Baptists, so they can start a war with anybody they want to as long as they got the Southern Baptists. But, you know, the only problem is the Southern Baptists won't put up the flesh and blood to go fight it. No, the Southern Baptists will wait for somebody named Gutierrez or Perez or Lopez or Nguyen or Ang, some kid from the fields of Iowa or the streets of Birmingham, Atlanta. Because the Southern Baptists are all for wars, you know, as long as they don't have to fight them. And, you know, it's okay by Ken Melman, too. It's okay by Ken. You know, he says, there's not going to be serious internal discussion because it'll be in the newspapers. And Stewart says, like an open government? All right, let's go to another thing, credibility-wise. Cheney says we're in the last throes. Rumsfeld says we know where the weapons are. In that instance, why are those guys still there? Melman. Well, because are they wrong a lot? Like when you meet with them, backstage. Not backstage because the White House is not a stage, it's a real place. But when you meet with them and talking about it, do they say that stuff to you, or will you, or do they say you won't believe what I told Russert? Like in any way, things turn out differently. It happens all the time, unfortunately. When not a prelude with a shooter zoo to the truth of March, a pair to the root and bother every vein, its wish liqueur, its virtue engendered is the floor. 'Twas Brillig and the slithy toad did gyre and gimble in the wave, all mimsy with the boar groves and the moan raps outgraved. It's all the same thing. It's gobbledygook. If I didn't have such high regard for Theodore Geisel, I would think that Dr. Seuss was heading the Republican National Committee. Well, certainly, I think if you look at the fact that Iraq had 3 elections last year, the fact the government's been formed there, the fact you have 265,000 Iraqi troops that have been trained. So let's leave, John Stewart. Melman, well, we will leave, absolutely, but as they stand up, we will stand down. Stewart, that's a good slogan, Melman, I know. And, of course, you know, the ironic and hip and progressive and liberal, you know, people who are good Americans watch that program And, you know, for once you get to sit there and laugh at the fool instead of just shaking your head and saying, oh, my God, what a dirt-eating liar he is. You know, when he's being licked by Wolf Blitzer. But does it wear on you some? I mean, do you suffer Melman fatigue? Do you suffer Republican fatigue? Do you suffer lying fatigue? Does it just sort of, you know, it's like that Excedrin headache number 622, where it's, you know, just above the spot between your eyes and a little bit over to the right, and it just makes your head hurt when you see these sorry. Does it? Let's take a break. And let's, in the process, let's also leave dear chinless log closet Ken Melman. Let's just leave him in the dust, because there's a lot more stuff for us to cover. What you're listening to is the Head On Radio Network. Who I am is Bob Kincaid.
Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Welcome to the second half of Wednesday Night Prayer Meeting with Brother Bob Kincaid. Get on the horn at 1-877-443-2366. We're here and we're doing requests. And now, here's Brother Bob Kincaid.
We're doing requests? Well, prayer requests, I guess. And if you send in enough money, we'll gladly send you a prayer hanky. You got those prayer hankies worked up, Agnes? Did you? I saw you had the embroidery hoop out, embroidering the logo on them. I don't have to sweat on them or anything, do I? Okay. Because I don't know if anybody else does this or keeps you up to date with what these monsters are up to. The American Family Association. I'm getting to the point where I really, really, really loathe this outfit. I'm getting to the point where I loathe them so much I may have to dummy up a website or something and try to sort of con them onto the program. Just to give you your own chance to call in and scream at them. This is the Reverend Donald Wildman. You know, jets, cars, houses, sort of like the well. And the thing that's under my skin just about now is this thing that they're trying to do to Ford. Headline from the AFA Action Alert. Ford pleads with dealers, ask customers to support Ford. This, you got to understand, these people are proud of the trouble that the American auto industry is in. These people are no different than Fred Phelps. Fred Phelps goes to soldiers' funerals and says, you know, your kid died because America supports the fags. How different is it from the American Family Association? Listen to this. The boycott of Ford Motor Company is working. Sales of automobiles made by Ford dropped 2% in May. This follows drops of 5% in March and 7% in April. When AFA began the boycott of Ford on March 13th, their stock was selling for $7.80 a share. As of Tuesday, the stock had fallen to $6.68, a drop of $1.18 or 13%. Now, you and I, we're rational people. And we understand that the problems that Ford is having has a lot to do with the so-called global economy. It has to do with the price of steel. It has to do with the price of health care in America, where the price of every single vehicle sold by GM and Ford has something in the order of $1,400 of health care costs built into it. We understand that. But the America haters at the American Family Association, they think that Ford's having trouble because of their boycott and because they're praying to their Old Testament, mean old, nasty, rotten Jehovah, the fire and brimstone God, to rain down economic doom upon Ford because Ford refuses to ask everyone whether or not they are gay and fire the ones who are. Let that just sort of puddle in your gut for a while and see if it doesn't. I wish I had a few thousand dollars laying around. I would go out and buy a Ford vehicle. And write and tell the American Family Association that I had done so. I hate this. Sitting idly by while these people crow about Ford, you know, and sure, no, Ford has never been the best corporate citizen, but you know what? There are a lot of people who have good livings working for Ford Motor Company. And they have health care. And they have a retirement. And these no good, lousy, rotten bastards at the American Family Association are hoping they get a chance to take that away. The success of the boycott prompted Chairman Bill Ford to have an email sent to all Ford dealers pleading with the dealers to ask customers to support Ford. It is clear that Chairman Bill Ford is willing to take Ford into bankruptcy to appease a small group of homosexual leaders. Do you know that Ford Motor Company forces their employees to undergo diversity training? At Ford, diversity training means forced attendance at company-sponsored meetings, which are used to promote the homosexual lifestyle. Attendance is required. Employees cannot opt out. In the diversity training, homosexual leaders present the homosexual lifestyle and tell employees to accept that lifestyle. Lying, rotten. We got news to do. This is Head On.
Too much sex, too little Jesus. Stacy's been a trouble team ever since she's 12. She broke the world close in her and thought she needed help.
This is Quality News Network. President Bush says that despite sagging poll numbers, he feels confident that the Republican Party will hold on to both houses of Congress in November and that he looks forward to campaigning for GOP candidates. At a news conference this morning, one day after his surprise visit to Iraq, Mr. Bush also saying that success in Iraq depends upon their will to succeed. He adds that he will not bend to political pressure for troop withdrawals and has assured Iraqi leaders that the United States will not leave until Iraqi forces can do the job. In Baghdad, more violence today despite the deployment of 50,000, mostly Iraqi and U.S. forces, to bring security to the capital city. A car bomb killed four and wounded six others. FEMA is under fire today on Capitol Hill, where Congress is hearing about a government audit showing that up to $1.4 billion of FEMA hurricane relief money, that's 16% of all of it, was used for fraudulent purposes. Money intended for victims of the hurricanes instead went to everything from season football tickets and a Caribbean vacation to a sex change operation. FEMA acknowledges that there was fraud and abuse and says it is revamping its system and working to recover the squandered money. House lawmakers have given themselves a $3,300 a year raise, increasing their salaries to $168,000. $8,500. The 2% cost of living hike is a seventh straight for members of Congress. Five U.N. human rights experts are urging the closure of the U.S. military prison at Guantanamo Bay after last week's suicides there, which they say were predictable given the harsh conditions. President Bush saying today he wants to close the prison but first needs a plan to deal with the prisoners who are held there. Scores of protesters stormed the Palestinian Parliament building today to demand long overdue wages from the Hamas-led government, which has been unable to pay the salaries of civil servants since taking office more than 3 months ago. At the same time, the Palestinian Prime Minister has agreed to begin removing a Hamas militia from the streets and to integrate it into a police force to try and ease tensions that have fanned fears of civil war. Fierce battles have killed at least 30 people across Afghanistan as the U.S.-led coalition prepares to launch its largest offensive since the fall of the Taliban 5 years ago. Indonesian authorities have raised the alert status for Mount Merapi, the volatile volcano in central Java, to its highest level. Top world scientists are saying that world leaders meeting next month for the G8 summit must not allow concern for energy security to distract them from taking promised action on global warming. And a new Harvard study says President Bush's No Child Left Behind education policy has had no significant impact on the improved reading and math achievement since it was introduced in the year 2001. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The Labor Department reports that consumer inflation registered another sizable increase in May, pushed higher by soaring gas prices. A congressional study says Venezuela's threatened embargo on U.S. oil exports would mean an immediate 15% increase in world oil prices, and that America is unprepared and its economy would suffer if Venezuela stopped supplying U.S. refineries. Federal and state authorities in Massachusetts are investigating the discovery of illegal drugs worth hundreds of thousands of dollars found in bathroom vanities sold by Home Depots in that state. The vanities had been originally shipped from Texas. The American Medical Association says too much salt is not good for you, and that it wants the U.S. food industry to help reverse the trend by reducing sodium in processed and restaurant foods by at least 50%. The association is also encouraging the FDA to develop warning labels for foods high in salt. Singapore Airlines has announced it will buy 20 jetliners from Boeing, primarily due to delays in Airbus's delivery of its A380 Jumbo. And the House Appropriations Committee has voted for a hike in the federal minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25 an hour, which would be the first increase in a decade. It comes as an amendment to a spending bill, but is not expected to be approved when it comes to the House floor. Lightsweet crude oil is trading up 39 cents at $68.95 a barrel. The Dow Jones Industrials up 52 points. NASDAQ is up by 3. And the S&P 500 is trading flat at this hour. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
I hope you don't mind me sharing information with you about what these ugly organizations like the American Family Association and their weird little cult leader Donald Wildman, and now his son's involved, and you know what they do. I'm looking at their website right now, and it says America's, and it's all in pink, like pink neon. America's Pro Family Action website. And I was going to suggest that maybe we need to start a movement, not just among this show, but among other liberal, progressive talk shows, because there are so many more of us than there are of the weirdos. And frankly, you know, they've entered the marketplace of ideas, and when we sit silent in dealing with them, our silence legitimizes their hate. And I was going to suggest, you know, an email campaign to tell them what a bunch of freaks they are, and how we loathe them for their hatred of our Constitution. We started the evening out with a news story. I guess it's gone now. Wherein a minister today in Greensboro, North Carolina, told the assembled thousands and thousands of Baptists that they are not of the American nation, and that they are not loyal to the American Constitution. It can't be said any more plainly than that. Can it? But just as other totalitarian movements have used the laws of a pluralistic society to destroy that pluralism, to destroy that openness, to destroy those civil rights, and you know what I'm talking about, so too, as I went to the American Family Association's website, I see what one person can do about offensive radio stations. And it's this sick screed.
Although the Federal Communications Commission has slightly increased its response to consumer complaints, praise Jesus, of broadcast indecency, oh lordy, local radio stations continue to ignore the laws that govern their use of the public airwaves.
What a lie! That huge blanket statement, local radio stations continue. That, they're telling you every local radio station.
First Amendment considerations prohibit the FCC for preventing what goes out over the airwaves. They are, however, authorized by Congress to levy fines or pull broadcast licenses from stations after they air indecent or profane content. That refers, although the Federal Communication has slightly increased its response, Congress just increased indecency fines tenfold. From $32,500 per occurrence to $325,000 per occurrence. To intimidate broadcasters. It slightly increased. You see what liars these people are, but it goes on and on, this thing, telling people what to do, how to do it, what they should do, not do. And it says citizen activism. Contact the station manager and politely ask him to tone down his announcers who abuse the airwaves. In reality, you can expect plenty of excuses, ho glory, and no promises, but at least you tried, hallelujah. Write a letter of complaint to the station manager and request that your complaint be made available to the FCC when the station's license is up for renewal. Send a copy of your letter to the corporate office of the station owner. The station's website will tell you who owns the station. A simple search on the internets can give you the mailing address. Okay, that's fairly innocuous. The files of radio stations are full of crank letters. But then paragraph 3. This is the one that means something. This is the one that proves to you just how hateful and mean and rotten and filthy and how much they really are like that past that pastor, my left hind foot, that huckster in Greensboro today, how much they really are opposed to our constitutional form of government, just like he said. 3. Begin a letter-writing campaign to advertisers on the station and its website. Ask them to distance themselves from being associated with stations that promote offensive and pornographic messages. Click here for sample letter. Okie dokie. Dear, thank you for taking time to read this letter. I am disappointed to learn that company name is a regular financial supporter of station call letters through advertising. Give a description of what you've heard on the radio here. Direct quotes from the announcers make the best impact. I'm sure your company does not endorse this station's disrespect for our community, our families, and our children. I respectfully request company to stop its financial advertising support on call letters until it stops offending common sensibilities in our community with pornographic and offensive broadcasts. Do you see how organized these fascist punks are? This is a toolkit for mouth breathers. The followers don't even have to think, as long as they can type in a URL and click merrily away through the various pages. Paragraph 4. Encourage others to call or write the advertisers. Concentrating on local business is often very successful. What this usually takes the form of is statements like, I ain't never going to come buy no car from your car lot as long as you're advertising on that radio station. I ain't never buy no mattress from your place as long as you're advertising on that liberal station. Well, I heard him say booger just last week. I mention all of this. You know, we kind of took Ed Schultz down the road a few weeks back for some really, really
slimy, smarmy, nasty comments he made about people who try to support alternative forms of communication and build alternative forms of communication. But guess what? Suddenly he's engaged in the same thing he was criticizing. From the Cincinnati Inquirer, I believe. Nationally syndicated talk host Ed Schultz is asking Hamilton County Democrats to help keep his show on Progressive Talk, WCKY, AM 1530. Republicans and conservatives are trying to get WCKY AM in Cincinnati to take us off the air, Schultz writes in a letter emailed to party members last week. Sources inform us right-wingers have even gone so far as to call local advertisers and tell them they will not do business with them because they buy advertising during the Ed Schultz show, 3 to 6 p.m., Schultz says. So he's trying to mobilize people there in that Cincinnati market to keep his show on the air because the hateful little right wingers are out there threatening people who do business with the station that carries his program. Now the same thing, similar things were done to the Air America affiliate out in Phoenix. But dedicated liberals and progressives, after the programming was pulled and the station was sold, found somewhere else to put the programming on the air. And they paid out of their own pockets to do it. They showed that they were devoted to free speech and that they were not going to have themselves censored by the religion industry, because it was the religion industry that bought the station. And Ed Schultz accused them of doing bake sale radio and said that that wasn't real radio because it wasn't commercial enough to suit him. You remember all this? Well, look it. Poor old Ed. Poor old Ed Schultz is now sending out emails doing the same thing they did in Phoenix. You know, you got to help us. You got to go to the advertisers and tell them that you'll support it. You know, support your local advertisers. And, well, wait a minute. Aren't you out there begging a little bit, Big Eddie? Well, yeah, you are. Tim Burke, Hamilton County Democratic Party chairman, confirms the letter was received a while ago. It was sent out because Democrats believe in having liberal progressive voices on the airwaves dominated by conservatives Bill Cunningham and Rush Limbaugh. We support an alternative to Bill Cunningham. Having Schultz, Jerry Springer, and Al Franken on WCKY is good for the community, Burke says. Now, see, there's only one problem in all of this. You know, I like Al Franken. He's humorous. But he's trying to be a moderate. He's trying to do what Hillary said to do yesterday in her speech at Take Back America. Trying to have that difficult conversation with people who may not agree with Democratic values. And, you know, Schultz puts himself out there as a red meat liberal. Red meat gun toting, hunting, thing killing liberal. I'm pro labor. Yeah, I believe that, Ed. And who else? Jerry Springer. Well, yeah, Springer's a Cincinnati guy. Makes sense they would run the program. But do you see the pattern here? The right wing will take people who aren't liberal at all and paint them as liberals. You know, you want a liberal, I'm your boy. I would dare say Bruce Birch is proud to be liberal, progressive. I would dare say John Fox is liberal, progressive. Joe Vecchio, liberal, progressive. Not Ed Schultz. Sam Cedar over at Air America, liberal, progressive. Mike Malloy, God knows. Randy Rhodes. But suggesting that you're having progressive or liberal radio because you're running Ed Schultz, Jerry Springer, and Al Franken? Sorry! And this is, I'm not gooning on, okay, I'm gooning on Ed. But Ed kind of earned it by virtue of the crap that he laid out to that station in Phoenix and that that smarmy, down-talking approach. Well, you're not doing real radio. All voices on the progressive side have value. We call this at the Head On Radio Network, we call this conversation radio because we acknowledge first and foremost that the most valuable voices out there, it's not mine, it's not Bruce's, it's not Joe's, it's not John's, it's yours. And we are committed to that belief and that vision and that conviction. But all liberal voices have value because liberals can save this country. Now we've got a hell of an uphill battle in front of us. We've got an uphill battle with Hillary. We've got an uphill battle with Joe Biden. We've got an uphill battle with McCain and Giuliani and all the all the Republicans. But if we do love this country, we have got to take the initiative in that uphill struggle. And we've got to openly confront. We've got to openly confront these freaks who hate free speech. These people who go to things like the Southern Baptist Convention and listen to speakers and clap and yay, praise Jesus when he says we have no association with the United States Constitution. We have got to openly confront this meanness. We have got to openly confront this wickedness. Silence is acceptance. Do you know what I mean? There's a little note at the bottom of the AFA thing. Your right to contact and encourage businesses to act responsibly with their advertising is a protected right of any citizen. In the past, some radio stations have tried to intimidate citizens by threatening to sue them. Well, you know, there is a cause of action out there called, tortious interference with business relations? But this is the kicker. The AFA Center for Law and Policy stands ready to defend your rights and immediately respond to stations that threaten citizens. My God, they have an organization that we can't even begin to dream of. That is why we, if we are going to take on this fight, we've got to be twice as dedicated, twice as strong, twice as smart, twice as stubborn as they are, because, their money comes through churches, and churches don't pay taxes. They've got a pipeline of money that they can use to destroy the Constitution of the United States. And we got to pass the hat. And we got to go to work, and we got to pay taxes. Let's go to the phones. Bob's joining us from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you?
Goodness gracious. You were talking about my boy Ed Schultz just a short while ago, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and guess what?
What?
He's always been a Republican. He was a Republican here in North Dakota.
Yeah, well, he used to admit it.
No, he is a GOP plant. No, he is a GOP plant, Bob. No, I'm talking, hey, I know guys up here in Dakota. I really do. I know them. I know them for what they are. And that fat pig is just a fat butt boy trying to get, George's whatever,
Well, see, the way I figure it with Ed Schultz is that, you know, he admits he used to be a Republican.
No.
And what happened was he tried to be a Rush Limbaugh clone and get in on that angle, but he realized that there was a glut in the market, so he thought he'd try to work it from the other side of the street.
That's exactly it. You know, he saw that he couldn't get to be, so he was gonna, you know, jump in. And Randy Rhodes was offered the job, and she said she would not shill for anybody. And he jumped in and said, "Oh, I'll shill for you. I'll play the game."
Explain to me, Bob, and I'm not being a smart aleck here. Who is it that he's shilling for?
He's shilling for the GOP, but he's doing it backhandedly. He's backhanding everybody. He did it with, Phoenix?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he said they were, hey, they're dead. Forget Phoenix. It's a dead issue. It'll never rise up again. But it came back because people cared about people, Bob. Like, I care about you, and I care about Agnes, and I care about your babies. I really do.
I know.
But I
do, and we appreciate that.
I do not care for these shillers that play the game to get into your life or try to take over what you believe and tell you that you don't believe that because I got a better angle.
Yeah, like the DLC.
Yeah, like the DLC or be Ed Schulte. Okay, same thing. He's just a shill, Bob. He's a user. He's using people. And, Bob, I'm never going to use you. I will never use anyone on this network. But I will attack anyone that tries to use people for their own personal, I don't care whether it's their personal ego or their personal gain or their personal, their own personality that they think they're better than somebody. It's like, hey, when I hear Andrew from New York, hey, he's real. He's not pretending.
Oh yeah, we are so real. I mean, I don't think there's anybody playing games here.
No, I'm not playing games with you guys. I really ain't. I just love you guys because, Bob, you speak from your heart to my heart, and I feel it. It's just, you just know when someone is telling you the truth. You just know it. And when somebody is trying to give you this BS line about, oh, George Bush went to Baghdad. Yeah, he went to Baghdad, all right. But he went there with an entourage that would make the United States Marine Corps envious of the artillery and the, you know, hey, this guy had a path cleared for him so he could go in. And guess what? Nobody knew he was going until he got there. And nobody knew he was coming back until he got back. And then they said, George Bush was in Baghdad. It's kind of like Condoleezza Rice was in Laura's bed for the night, and nobody knows that Condoleezza was, or kind of sleazy, was in George's bed for the night while, what's her name? Laura was in the
Mayflower Hotel.
The Mayflower Hotel, yeah. Oh, goodness, isn't that wonderful? We have a very moral nation. When people will not speak from the heart, they speak from the wallet. And, Bob, money doesn't mean a hell of a lot to me. It never has. It never, yeah. It, you know, money can get you things so you can, you know, get on the air and tell the truth. But it will not get you love. And I hear that, oh, you're dear actress. She loves you so much. And I'm so happy for you. You have a woman like I have my Glenda. And she loves me. Not because I'm better than any man, but she just loves me for who I am. And, Bob?
Yeah?
Guess what? I love you for who you are.
Well, thank you.
No, you're honest. Hey, sometimes you get a little off track, and, you know, you do things, and you talk to people. Yeah, and people, they disagree with you. But guess what? That's what Democrats do. We don't agree with each other all the time. We
don't have to, Bob.
No, we don't have to. And we don't have to just follow the damn party line. And I think I heard this guy, what's his name, that ex-senator that tried to be president and was, he said, yee-haw, or something like that, or what was that? He said, we're headed for Washington. Yee-haw! And the Republicans, they just squealed. And, you know, I saw a documentary about the genetically modified beings on this planet. Some of them are fish. Some are pigs. Some are, you know, they're corn. Some are canola. And guess what? We're all eating genetically modified things. We don't even know we're getting it because there's no labeling. Because guess what? Them boys don't want us to know that we're eating things that could kill us, but they just want to see what happens to us. But they're not talking about just Americans, Bob. They're not just talking about Americans. They're talking about the whole human race. They're talking about every human being on the planet.
Yeah.
And we're an experiment that they're playing with. And it's about time we just woke up and said, no, you're not going to experiment on my child. And you're not going to experiment on Bob Kincaid's children. They're not going to experiment on any more human beings with their genetically modified products. We will not buy them. And if they won't label it, they won't tell us what's in it, I'll grow my own, or I'll find a way to get things other than to buy them at Walmart and Kmart and some other mart or whatever mart it is, and we'll just find a way to get real food from real people. Like you do in your garden, Bob. You talked about that. I love that. Hey, you know what?
I'm grieving, Bob. I don't have my garden this year.
Oh, my God, boy. You got to have a garden.
Well, I was gone during the time when I would have been preparing the soil, and so, you know.
Well,
and it grieves me, frankly. That was my little mental health zone out there.
I know it was. That was one of the special things that made me happy about you, is that you...
I can go out and stand in the dirt and cuss the Japanese beetles, you know. It was good for me.
Yeah, that too, but you don't go out there and spray Monsanto crap on them and try to murder everything on the planet. You just cause them when they're eating your food, and you hope.
Oh yeah, well, Bob, I've got pre-spiced deer jerky on the hoof running through the yard. I mean, what they did to my hot peppers last year shouldn't happen. Bob, thanks for all your thoughts. We got to roll it out here now. Always good to hear from you, and you know, just thanks for being there, and thanks for shedding a little bit of light on the. Well, let's see. He likes to call himself Big Eddie. I prefer to call him Special Ed.
I like to call him the butt boy for Bush.
That works, too. Yeah. You take care, Bob. Have a good night, and give our best to Glenda, please.
Oh, she knows you care, Bob.
All right. You take care.
And, hey, my best to Agnes and the children. If you're chilling, you just give them a big hug from old Bob. And
I sure will.
And tell them that I love them as much as I love my own self.
All right. Take care, Bob.
Okay.
Later. Let's take a quick break, then come back a few phone calls before we roll it on out. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
What do nurses, teachers, and moms all have in common?
We help kids grow,
learn,
and thrive.
And they are all being targeted by Governor Schwarzenegger in this year's budget. Governor Schwarzenegger used to be known as an action hero. But what kind of hero targets moms and families to bear the brunt of budget cuts? In fact, the governor is choosing corporations over California's hardworking mothers. 70% of California's corporations pay no taxes at all, while the single biggest budget cut this year is to programs that benefit hardworking moms and their families, like child care, CalWORKs, and Medi-Cal. Governor Schwarzenegger, did you know that 92% of nurses and 76% of teachers are women? Stop targeting California's moms and kids. For more information, please call the California Partnership at 562-862-2070. Brought to you by the California Partnership. On the web at california-partnership.org.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Fie Iesu Domine, Dona eis requiem. Fie Iesu Domine, Dona eis requiem.
Oh, how I do love that. 23 minutes. Before the hour, 23 minutes left in tonight's program, and I don't want to waste any time. You know, you see, you wait until I get almost done, and then we get this little backlog on the phones. Let's go to Mitch, calling from California. Hey, Mitch, welcome to the show. Haven't heard from you in a while. You doing all right?
All right, Kingfish. I'm doing all right. You doing all right yourself?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, Nick Saradovich, so I'm back in action. I'll be talking to you again, I think.
Okay. I'm sorry for you for the sake of the Knicks.
Yeah, it's all right. It's next year. Anyway, you know, I hear you talking about these guys, and I know I never trust the Schultz. You know, where I come from, and I don't want to make this sound like Bush talking about looking people in the eye, but where I come from in Brooklyn, you've got to tour people real quickly, you know, because if you don't, you could die real quickly, you know. And, like, you know, I heard this guy Schultz the first day. He sounded just like Limbaugh, his voice.
That, yeah, doesn't he?
I couldn't tell the difference. I mean, I hear him, I think it's Limbaugh talking, you know, until I hear his, you know, I just never bought his act. And Springer is just a jellyfish. I mean, he's just, I don't know. He seems like a nice enough guy, but, I mean, a jellyfish, you know. You hear his latest video on Air America?
Yeah.
Don't bring up impeachment, because we could never bring that up, you know. You know, I mean, please, God, you know, you just encourage everybody to be a jellyfish, you know. My God.
Well, that's the I've got the sense, Mitch, that we're desperately in need of some fighters. You know, these people think that they're still dealing with the Republican Party of the Eisenhower era, where you can sit down, you know, you sit down, you have a sandwich, you know, they bring you a beer, and you hammer out a compromise, and America moves forward. This ain't that group.
No, man, it's not even the Sam Irvins around, man. I would even settle for some Sam Irvins, you know.
Yeah.
Now, and he was an old Dixiecrat. You know, that guy was a racist and everything else, but I mean, he believes in the Constitution, you know.
Exactly.
Bobby, we're going to the mattresses on this before it's over, man. I mean, think about it. I mean, I mean, these are the alternatives. We get it close to November. Bush's numbers are still in the toilet. There's no way he's going to take a chance on having an election. I mean, even if the fix is in with all the machines, he knows the public ain't going to buy it if he rips off another election. I mean, if he's like the polling numbers are like you know 1 out of 10, you know. And
yeah.
So, I mean, he's not going to allow himself to be in that position, and he knows he can get out of it with the snap of his fingers. The camps are set up; they're already staffed. I mean, what if people in this country? We're like the Germans, man. We're talking about all these other things, and meanwhile, martial law is going to hit, and we're going to be stuck there with our hands in the air, you know. And I mean, we're going to say, what happened? What happened? The whole country is like Germany after the war. Oh, geez, we didn't expect this. And we got to start making.
Well, yeah. See, it's like that Senate bill language that I read the other night that I really didn't get a handle on, but it had this language in it, Mitch, about how the president was authorized to expand the powers of the National Guard under federal service to law enforcement capability.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, I mean, it's coming down, man. There's no way, because and the other way is, if he has the election, like I said, if he does have the election, he's nuts. I mean, unless his numbers are up, steal the election. But I mean, either way, the people are going to revolt. I mean, I can see, you know, 500,000 people are in the White House with pitchforks and tar and feathers. I mean, but you know, I think the one canary in the works here is that. You think right now with the military, the way they feel about Bush, you think that if Bush says you could turn around and I want you to, you know, go against your own country, you think they would do it?
That's the scary part. I think they would, Mitch.
I mean, the generals are quitting like crazy now because of the abuse of Bush, you know?
But the ones that are left are the ones that are loyal.
I don't know. Well, either that or the ones that are just, maybe they're right at the edge too, you know? I don't know, you know? I mean, at this point, I heard Malloy say one night that he would almost, well, at this point, as sad as it seems, he'd almost welcome a military coup, you know? He would love to see the military coup, just throw them the hell out of the White House, and they get the hell out of here, you know, and hold another election somehow, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the expression, going to the mattresses, man, and unless we start making contingency plans, man, I mean, really, we got to start having a small little political groups like we had back in the day. We got to start forming solidarity with our brothers.
Yeah.
You know, our brothers of yellow brothers and brown brothers and black brothers. I mean, right now everybody's just walking around in a daze. I mean, we're still getting over 9/11 or whatever, or the election or whatever the hell we're getting over. But it's like this. It's like the Morlocks and the Eloi in the time machine.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, you mentioned going to the mattresses. You know, we either go to the mattresses or we get a trip out in the rowboat like Fredo.
That's it, man. Because I mean, it's either revolution or capitulation, man. You know, that's what it's coming down to. We're either going to capitulate or have a revolution, and I'm not going to capitulate. You know, I'm not going to capitulate. You know, like I remember the lines of Zapata. You know, I'd rather die on my knees.
Feet.
I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. And you know, I mean, that's the truth. You know, I mean, just to the point now where we've lost it, man.
I try to maintain some optimism, Mitch. But I'm so glad that there are people like you still out there. Because, you know, the American Idol crowd,
mm-hmm.
Brother, they're already living on their knees.
Oh, yeah, they are. But, I mean, those of us that are aware have no excuse for not making contingency plans. I mean, because the first thing they're going to do is try to cut lines of communication. So that means guys like you and Lawyer America, everybody, you're going to be under an assault like you've never saw in your life. I mean, you're going to have to hide in caves and broadcast from caves. Then you go back to ham radios. I don't know what we're going to do. But they're going to do everything to stop that. That's the first thing you do in this war. You cut the enemy's lines of communication.
Well, and that's why you see this ongoing debate in the Congress about net neutrality. I don't know if you follow that or not.
Exactly.
But you know, if you can just quietly allow, you know, the internet was built with public money. It was built with taxpayer dollars. And if you can just quietly allow the Verizons and Bell Souths and Pac Bells and all and AT&T or whatever, if you can just quietly allow them to co-opt the entire system and ghettoize it, then yeah, suddenly I got a problem getting my network out, out to the ether world.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you know, they have ways so sophisticated. I mean. Gee, my God, you guys are the guys really, you know, in the vanguard of the movement. I mean, you're the guys out there sticking your, you have your necks on the line more than anybody. I mean, people don't realize when they call you guys up that they're talking to real patriots. I mean, you guys aren't, you know, I mean, these, I mean, I'm calling up, people don't know who I am. I could be Joe Blow from Kokomo. You know, they could give a damn. But you have a name, you have an address, you have a place. I mean, you guys are in the vanguard. My spirit soars with you, Bob. I mean, because you are everything that I grew up thinking an American should be. You know what I mean? And I hope that I can live up to your standards, because you guys are out there putting it out every day, and Agnes must sweat it. And you guys, I mean, I don't know how you guys do it, but I mean, I'm with you 100%. I stand shoulder to shoulder with you in any battle, man. You know what I mean? And
bless you, Mitch.
And be proud to call you my brother. You know what I mean? And when these people call you up, man, I'm not saying they should, you know, deferentially bow, but you know, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't take reverence very well,
no,
Mitch.
I know, but I mean, I want the people who are listening, you know, and like Bobby just got up the phone. He knows, man. You guys are patriots. You guys, if this were the old days, you would be the guys in the printing presses, man, running around delivering the, you know, delivering it by foot if you had to.
Well, that's what this is, really.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's just, you're just doing the same thing they did, only you're using a different technology in a different time, you know?
Yeah. But, if Thomas Paine could have reached people this way, I like to think Thomas Paine would have been reaching people this way.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. What I would suggest, man, and I think you understand what I'm talking about, is I would, for you and Agnes, I would definitely have a route on the ground. I've lived in the underground, in and out of the underground for years. You know, since the '60s, I know people still in hiding. You know, but I mean, and they'll never be caught. You know, well, maybe now they will. God knows with Bush. But I mean, I would say, man, you know, I mean, we all going to have a safe route. We all have to have a place where a safe house where we can go.
We've actually given thought to that kind of stuff.
I mean, I hate to be a harbinger of doom, but I...
Well, yeah, and I mean...
If this shit hits and nobody's aware of it, everybody's going to say, you know, that crazy son of a bitch was right. You know?
Exactly. And I just, you know, I really, really, really don't want to live that whole thing that Martin Niemöller wrote about, you know, when they came for me, there was no way to stand up because they were all already gone. I will not live that, Mitch.
I will not live in fear either, man. But, you know, I mean, I'm not going to, at the same time, I'm not going to voluntarily put my ass in front of a, you know, I'm not going to volunteer to go to one of those camps.
No, and I mean...
Or my family, you know, I mean, I'll die and kill somebody before I would let anybody hurt my family, you know.
I'm convinced that what we're doing, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think it had some importance, Mitch.
I tell you, man, it's like that, you know, I mean, I can't even believe we're coming up on something like global warming. We have to deal with this now, with global warming coming on. And right, it might push us to pull this shit right now when we need to have all our attention on global warming. Bush has got to go and pull this shit and take all our attention away from the thing we should be, you know, really concentrating on now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is deck chair rearranging on the Titanic.
I mean, don't these people care about their children?
No, they don't, because they, Mitch, they assume, you know, George and Laura assume that they are so privileged that Barbie and, Laura and Barbie or whatever, that they will be,
the
twins. They assume that they are so privileged that no matter what happens on planet Earth, they will be secure. And it's that devil may care, devil take the hindmost, and everybody else be damned attitude that will actually lead to the possible downfall of this nation. Mitch, it's so good to hear from you. I hope we'll hear from you again soon. I've got to roll on and catch another caller.
I will, brother. I love you. You take care of yourself. Aggie, I love you too, sweetie. Talk to you soon.
Love you.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye now. And onward to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good.
Where were you? Oh, earlier you mentioned Ford and how they're not the worst corporate citizen. You know, just think what they would, what kind of corporate citizen they'd be if it wasn't for the United Auto Workers.
Well, exactly.
Exactly. You know, so unions help keep people and corporations straight. But listen, I got a story to tell you.
Okay.
I don't know if you're aware, you heard on the news today, you know, there's a special session. Well, and then, you know, the governor determines the agenda for the special session.
Right.
Which the agenda came out yesterday. What's on the agenda but a moratorium on all wind projects?
Well, bless my pea-picking heart.
You know, so a sneak attack. So I spent most of the day in the Capitol lobbying, you know, senators and legislatures trying to get this thing stopped, which I believe we were successful. Now, I don't know. Hopefully the session's over. You know, you're never safe as long as those idiots are in session.
Yeah, grab your wallet and hold on for dear life.
Right, exactly. But I had a conversation with our good friend Russ Weeks.
Oh.
Senator Weeks.
Yeah.
I stopped him before he's going into the Judiciary Committee meeting, which all of a sudden...
He's on that committee?
Yes. Yes.
Man.
Anyway, I stopped him, and, you know, during our conversation, they came out and announced that the agenda had changed and the moratorium was no longer on the agenda. You know, so, I mean, that was one hit that we made. But anyway, so I'm telling him, I said, Russ, you're talking about $1 billion worth of projects here of windmills. You know, I mean, that's a lot of work for a lot of people. That's a lot of taxes the state will bring in. That's, you know, that's clean, green energy. That's, you know, no pollution, no nothing. He says to me, Wayne, are you against mountaintop removal? I said, I most certainly am. And he said, why? That creates good jobs, good paying jobs, and taxes. We get taxes from that and all that. I said, Russ, I don't consider, you know, I said, I want good paying jobs for people, but, you know, there's a limit. And good paying jobs that destroy the earth are not worth it. I don't care how much they pay. Well, that doesn't destroy the earth. They're making nice flat. I said, how can you even talk like that? You know, I said, Russ, they're blowing off the top of mountains, dumping them into valleys and creating valley fills that bury streams. I mean, what are we up to? How many hundreds or thousands of miles have we buried? Streams have we buried already?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, we're going to wind up by the end of this decade, we will have flattened enough mountains to make up the entire area of the state of Delaware.
It's unbelievable that people can support this. And, you know,
Well, Russ is in the mountaintop removal business.
Yeah, he is in the mountaintop removal business.
And he's also got that eighth grade, I don't mean to sound like a snob, he's got that eighth grade education working for him, too.
Well, yeah, I kind of referred to him as Russ Wee Brain Weeks. But,
yeah, yeah, Russ Weeks-minded.
Exactly. But, it's unbelievable what these people are trying to pull down there. And, you know, one of the things that kills it is, like, the only thing they really wanted to kill was the Greenbrier Project.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all know who's, you know. Then I'm arguing with a legislator, and he's telling me that, you know, all the development that's going on down to Greenbrier, and rich people from all over the world are coming and building second homes at $5 to $10 million a pop. You know, they stay in, for 2 weeks a year. And this legislature's arguing to me that will stop. If they build them windmills, that'll stop. And I said, listen, if they build that, you know, number one, the closest windmill is 17 miles from the Greenbrier.
Yeah, well,
see them from there.
Right. If the windmills bother you living at the Greenbrier, then your biggest problem in life is kryptonite because you've got like Superman vision.
Exactly. You know, and God, I'm trying to think. Oh, and you know, well, the answer to that is, you know, have you ever flown into Palm Beach, pal? You know, that's all you see is windmills. And I believe there's a couple million-dollar homes there, and they keep building them. The arguments are, you know. But all this is backed by the Greenbrier, who's owned by CSX, who hauls coal for.
Massey.
And, it's just utterly ridiculous. But, like I say, hopefully, you know, we got this beat, and the session will end. And then, thank God, there's not another special session, well, scheduled anyway.
What?
Until after the November elections, because
Wayne, you've got a lot of political savvy, okay? I mean, what is it with Joe Manchin? Why can't he get behind green energy?
I don't know. I really don't know. You know, I mean,
he's a Democrat.
Yes. Well. Claims to be.
Yeah, I know.
Claims to be. It's, you know, listen, big money and big people, you know, Joe bows to them. And, you know, I mean, I'm told while we're down there that the governor isn't backing this, the moratorium.
It's his agenda.
The governor set the damn agenda.
Yeah.
You know, so, but they're saying, well, you know, so you're supposed to believe, look, he just put it on the agenda to make some rich people happy, but he's not going to push for it, you know. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you make them a little unhappy and don't put it on the damn agenda? God, you know, it's absolutely maddening. And, you know, I mean, here we're all waiting for the PSC decision, which, you know, whether or not they're going to permit this project. And Russ is telling me, well, they told me that they had a public hearing down at the fairgrounds, and I was there. And he said there were 150 people down there, and there were only five people that spoke for him. And I said, yeah, Russ, and I was one of them. But, I mean, that's how all public hearings, you know, I mean, people in support of things don't go there.
No.
You know, they also did a survey, a poll in Greenbrier County, and 78% of the people that live in Greenbrier County are in favor of the windmills. You know, of course, that don't count because they didn't come to the public hearing. You know,
yeah.
But I'll tell you, it was, well, it's amazing. These people are dangerous. You know, I think we ought to go to, what's Texas meet every 2 years or something?
Yeah, can we go for four?
Yeah, or something. I mean, oh, man, these sneak attacks.
And, well, right. You know, how about a law that you can only call a special session if something is going to shut down or break wide open if you don't?
Well, you know, how about, why don't we, I mean, you know, I think special sessions ought to be done away with unless there's some dire emergency. I mean, you know, they're in session for 60 days. You know, you ought to be able to get your business done then. If you can't, let's extend the damn thing to 90 days. You know, but if you don't get done with your work, I don't know, maybe the death penalty or something. I mean, you know, my God, you know. And half three quarters of the thing that they pass are just
crap.
Well, it's continuations. You know, yeah, are we going to keep paying the state police? Oh, yeah, well, we better have some discussion about it. You know, I mean, stupid stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? And I'll tell you, it's amazing. But it was fun, too.
Well, sure. I mean, there's that whole air of excitement and a little adrenaline rush and...
And, you know, there's nothing better than arguing with people like Russ Weeks, you know.
Well, I don't know. That's like shooting fish in a barrel to me, but, you know.
Well, yes, it is. Yes, it is, you know.
You feel kind of guilty. It's like watching a cat play with a mouse.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, the end result is if that issue came before the Judiciary Committee, he would have voted for the moratorium, you know.
And, oh, yeah. Well, he's bought and paid for, too.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So. Anyway, buddy, that's, you know.
No, it sounds like you had a very busy day.
Oh, yeah, it was, man. It was busy. Like I said, I just hope the session ends shortly. I think it ends because the speaker wanted to go home. You know, so that means a lot.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, well,
absolutely.
Bobby's tired. He's done. You know, he wants to get the hell out of there and, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, he's got till what, January?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Wayne, good talking to you, man.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you later, man.
All right. Later. Bye. Hey, that's it. Thanks to everybody for joining us for this little session in Brother Bob's Cathedral of Common Sense. The show tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. Our chief engineer is John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Our IT professional is Peter Godbold of Godbold Computers in Tallahassee, Florida. This program and every program on the Head On Radio Network comes to you by virtue of the fact that thousands of members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights get up and go to work every day, and they build the American dream. And in helping to build the horn, they're saving the American dream. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams of this and all other horn programming as well as the archives thereof. He's got a fundraiser going on so he can keep on doing what he's doing. Need to go there and do the right thing. And always, always, always. RMR, it's all for you.